Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode number 205. Derek and Lynn's here in Studio B. A lot of fun topics. Talked about some poop today. That was good.
Yes, and we did two book reviews.
Which is strange for us. We did Wonder Woman Rebirth number one and...
Strange Attractors number one.
Good old Charles Soule, and we got some Greg Rucka over on Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Talked a lot about a lot of different stuff, like Injustice and the gameplay trailer for Injustice 2. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, with the DC animated movies that are coming out, including the theatrical one-day release of The Killing Joke.
We talked about Lynn's creepy-hugging Kevin Smith, which was pretty fun.
It tied into Mallrats, which is a series that he's got coming out.
And how he wants to direct some Daredevil and Defenders, yes. Which we at least made a comic book related.
And I had to get a little bit of Lobo in there, too. Squeeze them in there.
We made Booze in a Book with Aquaman Rebirth number one, and it was Children's Day today, so
yeah,
good times.
So sit back, relax, grab a fishbowl and fucking down that shit, and listen to episode 205 of Drunk on Comics, Knowledge is Power.
We just pretty much talk about poop all the time, so...
It's a basic human function.
It is.
When you're little, everybody reads that book.
Everybody poops. Yeah. There's all those. Isn't there like an everybody pees also?
I mean, it's basic human anatomy. Nobody wants to talk about it, but we all do it.
Everyone needs to know the truth of their bodies, I guess.
And sometimes your body rejects you.
And then, yeah, this is what happens when Tony isn't around. We get to talk about everybody poops. It's kind of like the first comic book you read.
Right.
Little drawings of, like, going to the bathroom, like, big poops, small poops.
Yeah, it really is. Your intro. Intro to art meets words, right?
Yeah. They don't want to show, like, a real, like, old guy just taking a dump.
No.
I mean,
oh,
that'd
God.
Be scarring for a child.
I think that would probably edge on, like, child abuse.
Yeah, it's okay if you draw like a little kid though,
right.
Like in like child porn style, like taking a poop naked. That's somehow okay.
Okay, touche. Either way, it's bad.
I want the gritty, realistic like, reboot of everyone poops.
Just people like gripping the sides of the.
Just show them like a prolapsed colon and be like, "This is what's gonna happen to you someday. Hemorrhoids that touch the water, child."
Gross.
That's something.
Oh, man.
The things we talk about.
Yeah.
We're terrible.
You know, I think as we get older, those subjects just become more real.
Yeah, you go from, like, drinking and going to the bar to talking about insurance and, like, bodily function errors.
Yeah, it's true. We're getting old.
Damn it.
I know. I'm in denial.
Well, you should be. Why not?
Okay, so other than your body rejecting you, did you do anything fun this weekend?
Went to an open house.
Free food.
Went to the Whitecaps, watched them get destroyed last night. They lost like 9-1.
Wow.
We left it for 8-1. It was the longest game ever.
Yeah.
Let's see. Going to an open house and a barbecue today.
Oh, more free food.
Yeah. Never ends.
It's free food season.
Yes, that's the best part about knowing young people.
Yes.
Even when you're old, like your cousins and stuff that are younger, just like, come over and eat.
I only see you once a year, but I'm going to eat all your food. Here's 20 bucks.
Give me your food. Here's $10.
Yeah.
Give me a beer. Which, I've gone to more open houses lately that have had beer. When I was younger, there were, like, no open houses that had beer.
No.
What happened?
I don't know.
Did open houses go from being about, like, the children to being about adults?
Yes, I think so.
Sweet.
You know, most people don't stay at their own open house. I find, at least, I mean, this was 100 years ago when I graduated, but I stayed at my open house for like 5 minutes and then I left to go to other people's open houses.
Seriously?
Yeah.
My parents made me stay at mine.
Oh, really?
We also had like 400 people there. We had like four grills going and a canoe full of pop because my parents invited everyone they'd ever met. But
something we made is being successful.
Yes. He's done it finally. Congrats.
Celebrate his genius.
Yeah, something like that. Clearly that's the case now.
Yeah.
Anyways, we should probably actually get to talking about important things.
Like comic books.
Yay.
Yay.
So yeah, welcome to Drunk on Comics after listening to our ramblings.
Yes, we're in Studio B today.
Studio B, Derek's desk with a blanket on it. Just me and Linz right now. My wife might pop in at some point once she gets done making whatever she's doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's doing out there. No. Oh. Just never know.
Doing what? Doing
meatloaf!
Meatloaf? Is that
no, she's not doing meatloaf. She's making like puppy chow or something.
Now I want some. Ooh, that's even better.
Yeah. Like somebody has to go to a barbecue. We need to bring something.
Oh.
Apparently puppy chow.
Well, yeah. That's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
So, okay. Back to comics.
Anyways.
So what'd you read that was good this week?
Surprisingly, being a man, I read Wonder Woman number one, Rebirth. Since
nice.
I've been trying to pick up all the Rebirth stuff to see kind of what they're doing with it. Also, Greg Rucka, so that seems like a good choice to get into. Let's see. Matthew Clark did the pencils. Sean Parsons did the inks. Apparently, there were several artists on this, but I'll be reading for 3 hours if I don't. But this is probably the one comic that actually fully embraces the meta-ness of the whole Rebirth thing. Even Wonder Woman doesn't know her own origin anymore. Like, on the first page, you see her made from clay, her being, like, Zeus's child, and her mother just raising her up from nothing. So she's like, I don't know what's going on anymore. Something changed me, and I'm not entirely sure who I am, which is kind of fun, but this obviously takes place after all of the Darkseid War happened.
Right.
But apparently the world has also changed with Dr. Manhattan, which we talked about last week.
We did.
So she's all pissed off, trying to figure out who she is. She even uses the Lasso of Truth on herself at one point.
Really?
Trying to figure out what's going on and who did this.
Did it work?
Yes, kind of. But she has Ares' helmet from killing him and puts it on and then crunches it, which shouldn't be possible. Because it's a god helmet made by Hephaestus, so she's like, what the fuck is up?
Wow.
So, yeah, clearly this comic is fully embracing the change to the world, and I guess she gets to make her own new origin now, which is
nice.
Kind of fun.
A la Deadpool.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean,
it's a tool that a lot of writers have been using lately.
I know, and you know, I haven't read a whole lot of Wonder Woman ever. I mean, outside of, like, the Superman Wonder Woman comics, but, I mean, this has been fairly fun so far. She goes to Olympus trying to figure out what the heck's going on and gets attacked, like, they don't know who she is. So.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, that's a thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, I guess we kind of see where this one goes, but...
So does it add to the Rebirth story?
Yes, especially probably more so than some of the other ones, especially with the whole not really sure what's happening and who's manipulating her life and changing everything. I've noticed too that it looks like most of the major titles for DC are going to every other week.
Oh.
This is another bi-weekly where most of these used to just be monthly.
Yeah.
So I guess the whole Rebirth is $2.99 every other week you're getting a comic. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, for reading, for
also,
pocketbook, no.
Also this week, there has been in every one of the DC comics a nice Darwin Cook spread
that's
with a Jack
awesome.
Kirby quote. So I think that's pretty awesome,
that's,
especially
that
the fitting
is
tribute
awesome.
To him.
Yes, and it's beautiful.
Yes,
I
New Frontiers drawing,
style.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
So at least they haven't just pushed that to the wayside, because it was kind of sad, so.
Yeah, it
yeah.
was.
Yeah, they've also, like, every one of these Rebirth comics has had the longest ad in the middle of it, like... Four plus pages of all the new stuff coming out, and then Overwatch, of course, because everyone wants that. But
and that's like, all just for like the Rebirth stuff.
For Rebirth, and then Overwatch on three pages. Apparently, Blizzard gave them $1 million.
Oh yeah, it looks like something you'd see at the end of a book.
Yes, but no, dead center. This is the centerfold. Is them talking about the new Superman stuff coming
Interesting.
Out?
Interesting. Did it make you lose?
A little bit, because I'm like, when does the story continue? Okay, Overwatch, I play that sometimes, and more Superman stuff, and Overwatch again. Oh, and there's Wonder Woman, so.
Weird, that's weird.
I guess it's better than Nick Lachey, because at least they're marketing about their own things, as opposed to left Twix and right Twix, and left Nick Lachey and right Nick Lachey.
That's but, true, and it okay. doesn't interrupt an actual page.
Yes.
Like those half-page ads used to do. They got rid of those real quick.
Shocking. I'm sure everyone was so thrilled about them, obviously. So
you said there was a bunch of artists on this?
Yeah, like, I guess like the art switched in the middle of the book.
Could you tell?
Not really.
That's good. I mean...
You know, because sometimes when that happens, it gets a little bit distracting.
It does. You're like, am I reading a new story now?
But I guess that's probably going to be something that they have to do, especially if they're putting out bi-weekly books, since it puts such a strain on the art team to try to get all that done. So I'm not surprised that is something... I didn't really pay attention on the other, like the Detective Comics and Action Comics that I got this week, but maybe I should have.
To see if there was the multiple
split
artists.
Art. Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. I like it when they get art teams that can work so well together that you don't even tell.
It's not like some drastic change.
Right.
It's not going from like Darwin Cook to Ted McKeever or something.
Who we love.
Yes.
Both.
Yes.
Just they do not, they would not
they would not, it's not the same.
No. not at all.
The same style, but.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, this week I read something, it actually came out a couple weeks ago.
It's
all right. I'm super behind on my comics.
Well, it's summer, this is kind of what happens.
Yeah, so I read Strange Attractors, number one, put out by Boom Studios.
Good old Boom.
Good old Boom. It's written by Charles Soule. And then there's two artists on this, too. Greg Scott and Sue Lee. But so that's
Charles Soule's writing for Boom now, too? That's fun.
Yeah. He is just everywhere.
Everything.
Yeah. Good for him. He's working.
Still doing Daredevil and a few other things, if I remember right.
Yep.
So.
He's working a lot. So, and obviously, I think Boom is more of a independent type.
Creator-owned
stuff. So it's way easier for them, I think, to get into... to these books and as well as do their other stuff. They're probably on less of a strict schedule.
Probably true, yeah.
So
I can see that. Not that deadline every other week like we were just talking about.
Yeah, this is more like, I've been working on this for 2 years and it's done, so here you go.
I can show you the world.
Yes. So Strange Attractors is an interesting little comic book about chaos theory and math.
Oh, way to go for light reading.
So I didn't know anything about it. I was just like, you know, I haven't read anything from Boom in a while, so I'm going to try this one out. And it's written by Charles Soule, so you know it's going to be good.
But yeah.
But basically, what this book is about is, the very beginning of the book, they have this guy standing in front of like a class, and he's talking about how after 9/11, New York City took very little time to like get back to normal in their everyday mundane stuff. But then you have places like New Orleans that got hit by the hurricane and mm-hmm. they're still trying to recover from it. It's been taking years. And what makes New York City different than a place like New Orleans? How can they recover being as massive as they are when a kind of a smaller place like New Orleans, small in terms of it's not as big as New York, it's still pretty big.
Well, New York isn't 100 feet below sea level, for
yeah,
one.
That's true. and then this guy, this is not even really a spoiler because they haven't gotten into why this happens yet, but he sees like vectors everywhere. They look like laser beams and they all connect to things. Like, he's seeing, like, the connections between things that normal people wouldn't see connections to.
Okay.
And something happens, and he throws himself off the roof of a building and splats on the ground and dies. And that's how this book starts.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Super interesting,
light
right?
Reading. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it switches to this other guy who's trying to write a paper about the recovery of New York and how it happened and stuff like that, and he ends up meeting up with this professor who starts talking about chaos theory and the mathematical equations behind it and stuff like that, and you learn that this old guy has been mapping the city using chaos theory since like the 70s, and I don't
is it like some weird like Ian Malcolm type guy from Jurassic Park?
Nice. Yes, except older. And when you look at the maps that he's drawn, it's like they don't look like maps. They're just little segments of the city all vectored out, and how like something, if y'all could see my hand motions, this might make more sense, but how one thing like over here, just imagine an over here.
So if like a butterfly is flapping
yes,
its wings
exactly,
over here.
The butterfly effect. And then you learn that he's been doing these tiny little things throughout the last 30 years to affect change in New York City without people knowing it.
Oh.
Little things like throwing paper airplanes off a building. I don't know how that changes anything, but it shows him doing it, like releasing a rat into a diner, you know, so that the diner gets shut down and how that will affect the area around it.
So he's like a mathematics superhero.
Yes.
Changing
yes.
history without actually.
It's
he's the Dr. Manhattan of math.
A little bit. And it's just, you know, I do accounting for a living. You work in a bank. We know a little bit about math.
You much more so than me. I hate accounting.
Accounting math is completely different than, like, something. This
chaos
is
theory, yeah.
Way over my head. But this book explains it in a way that you can kind of get it.
I think you should start applying chaos theory to your accounting.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
just change one little thing here and completely change the course of your employer's history.
Yeah, I don't know if they would enjoy that.
Nope. You have the power.
But it's really interesting, and even if you don't know anything about math, chaos theory, anything like that, I mean, most people, what they know about chaos theory is from Jurassic Park.
Yep. But watching the butterfly effect.
Yes, exactly. And then they're pretty accessible, accurate explanations, layman's terms of chaos theory. But this book is super interesting. I was not expecting to get so pulled into the story as I was. And then the art in this is awesome. And the first half of it is one story. And then Charles Soule wrote like a accompanying story at the end, which is done by the other artist. And it's this old teacher.
Okay.
It's him back in like the 70s when he first starts doing all of this stuff. So I don't know if he's going to be running both throughout the series. It's only a 5-issue series. So he's going to wrap up chaos theory real quick.
Yeah, apparently. Boom does a lot of that, though. They do, like, the short runs, six comics, which is nice. You're not stuck in for, like, your lifetime.
It is, because it's hard. I think every comic book hits a lull after a certain number, and you lose readers and stuff. It's hard to stick into a comic ad infinitum.
By going, hey, you get 4 issues, people are like, yeah, I can handle.
Yeah.
Like the first one, I can hold through 4.
Yes, yeah.
Or
so
5.
Everybody should check this out. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised on how good it is. And maybe you'll learn something from your comic book.
Look at that. Knowledge bombs from comic art. That's awesome.
Who would have thought, right?
I know. It's crazy.
Back in the day when your parents were like, you don't need to read those.
You're not going
to
learn anything.
Lies. It was all lies. I think I learn more from comic books than I do anything else now.
Especially when they do, like, historical comic books, like March and things like that.
Yeah.
That's historical, just in comic form. Makes people read it as a different medium. That's great.
Well, and that's what Matt, you know, everybody knows Matt of Junk on Comics, that's his big thing, becoming a teacher and using comics to help inform the children's.
Because you can use parallels in real life to what's actually going on in the comics.
Yep. It's smart, and it draws kids in, I think.
Much better than a giant, like, 500-page textbook or just a wall of text that makes you want to smash your skull in with it. Yeah.
I never read a textbook, ever, in my entire school career. I don't know how I passed anything, but never once.
I very rarely did, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would get the idea from talking to people, and that was really all I needed, because I'm an excellent bullshitter.
Yes, me too!
I can make, like, one sentence of knowledge into, like, 800 words of eloquent garbage. Not like the old what I am going to do in this page is to inform you of this and this. Not that way. That was the cheese yourself to get 500 words middle school strategy.
Yes. So
thanks, meep testing.
Kids, read your textbooks. Don't listen to us.
Please
even
do
though
not.
We are successful adults and have gotten where we are.
We made it through. We survived. You had to have read something if you're an accountant.
That's, yeah. Well,
about accounting.
I did, you know, the homework. So, like, I guess I read the one page
that was necessary.
Yeah, that the homework was on. I was very big on using the, what do you call it? The end.
Oh,
the
summary and then the index of where everything is.
Yeah. Oh, this question is about, you know,
widgets.
Something accounting. I'm going to go to
something
that page.
Something accounting. Such a pro
all these, yes, all these accounting terms. It's fucking Sunday. I don't work.
Sorry to make you function on a Sunday. That's terrible for you, I know.
It's all good.
Well.
All right. So those are the books we read this week. Check them out.
We have multiple comic reviews for the first time in a while.
I know. But, you know, sometimes we just don't mesh up on what we've been reading.
I know.
I haven't been reading any of the Rebirth stuff. Although, I feel like now that you've talked it up so much, I kind of want to.
I can let you borrow some stuff. I got boxes of
awesome.
Crap. Oh, that was something I did last weekend. I alphabetized all my comics.
Oh, that is a task.
It sucked.
Yeah.
I had piles just around this office that weren't in any sort of order outside of being the same thing. So.
Yeah, that's a task. I've done it.
And then I had to remember who had what of my issues. Like, I'm like, I'm missing this one and this one. Who is that? Tony? Does Matt have that? Who has my things?
I know. We need, like, a lending library software that we can use to...
I'm going to just start making notes and draw blood from people or something. Blood oath to get my things back.
Oh, sharing is caring, kids.
Something.
All right. Let's get into some some happenings.
So something super sweet that I'm super disappointed I'm not going to be around for because I'm going to be up in Canada is The Killing Joke is getting a one-night theatrical release.
That's fucking awesome. This is the first animated movie that they've done that is going to be showing in theaters.
Hey, it's going to actually be better than Batman vs. Superman, so that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, one-night only theatrical release. I believe it was July 25th on a Monday. Like I said, I'll be up in Canada fishing, so I'm very sad to miss it. But they're doing showings at 7:30 and 10 p.m. local time. Pretty awesome. 3 days after its world premiere at San Diego Comic-Con. And then the digital HD release is July 26th, so seeing it in the theater actually gets you there earlier.
Nice.
So,
do you think that they're doing this because it's premiering at San Diego Comic-Con and that's notorious? Probably,
one, don't want the spoilers leaking out there, yeah. But two, I think they can make some money off of it.
And they're probably right.
I mean, this has been hyped for so long, and it is such a legendary story in Batman and DC history that yes. They actually can do this.
Yes.
And actually have people show up, as opposed to, like, Robin, son of Batman. I don't think that would have done so well in the theaters.
No.
It wasn't bad.
No.
But...
yeah, having it be an iconic story probably definitely will help.
Oh, yeah.
So, my guess is unless you live in bumfuck Idaho.
Yeah, you can actually go to fathomevents.com and see which theaters are participating. I know if you're in the Grand Rapids area, Celebration is doing it, since they do a lot of the Fathom stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can order tickets online from there as well to find somewhere. But this is big because it's got Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill back in their usual animated series roles.
That's awesome.
I mean, the art doesn't look like the animated series. Joker looks super, super
creepy. They went off books with this, the animation for this. I watched in the preview, the trailer, it doesn't look like any animation they've
looks
used.
Looks kind of like Killing Joke.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's a little more rough.
Which is fine.
Yes. I think for a story like that, you probably need to go.
It's not a pretty story.
No.
Whatsoever.
No.
A little dark,
no.
So please don't bring your children to
see
that.
It is rated R.
It's rated R for a reason.
Yes, as it should be.
little dark and a little rapey. So,
Yes.
Yeah.
The rape was only ever implied.
Yes, they never actually showed anything.
They never showed anything. But, yeah. I mean, you know, breaking bones and torturing people and really getting into the dark side of the Joker.
But
DC has this coming out, and then they have a new movie coming out soon
that they're announced. They're actually apparently going to do some sort of, if I remember right, like a sneak peek of it after.
Oh, right.
So,
and this is Justice League Dark,
which I am very excited about because that has some great DC characters like Constantine,
yes.
who was robbed from us from NBC,
yes, he
and
was.
They've just randomly smattered him on Arrow and
yeah.
talked about him. Come on. CW, you need to pick that show up. It was actually good.
It was so good, and it was such an injustice. I know. That would have been great for a segue for something else we're going to talk
yeah,
about
you,
later, but
you
I used it too
on.
Early.
You blew your load like a bottle rocket. There we go.
So, yeah, Justice League Dark isn't going to be coming out until 2017. But
I feel like this is one that they could totally do as another R-rated one. I mean, having Constantine, all the demons, Deadman in there. I mean, they're all, yeah, dark
yeah.
characters, as
well, yeah.
the name implies.
For sure.
So.
And I guess maybe they'll... I'm wondering if they've made, like, a cuttable version of it. So they have, like, a rated R version, and then they have one that could cut down that doesn't lose any of the story down to PG-13 based on... how well this one does as a rated R.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they have enough time to do that. But yeah, I mean, Zatanna and Swamp Thing, all the good Justice League Dark characters.
Yes.
That's exciting. I'm actually kind of more excited about that if they do it right than even Killing Joke, which is surprising. But
yeah. DC kills it on their animated stuff.
Too bad they suck at regular movies.
You know, and I don't know what the disconnect is. Maybe it's just they don't cast well or...
They hired not good directors. Sorry, Zack Snyder. I kind of like Watchmen.
I just rewatched Watchmen the other day. It's legit.
I saw that in IMAX. That was a lot of blue dick.
Yes, that's a 10-foot tall one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they need to get the teams that work on these animated movies closer to writing the scripts for the actual movies. Or what they could do, but they need to do something.
Well, Geoff Johns is going over to work on the movies, so that should hopefully help.
He
since
is.
He doesn't suck at making things better. So hopefully he'll be like, hey, Zack Snyder, stop being a brooding douche and make something acceptable.
Yes, which the next Justice League movie, did we talk about this? The next Justice League movie is just going to be called Justice League.
Yeah, yes.
I think we did talk about this.
Which is fine. You don't need to add, like, Justice League. We talked about that with this whole, like, Justice League, XXXX. Yeah. All these things.
Okay, so to go back to my awesome segue.
About injustices?
About injustices.
So, yeah, NetherRealm announced Injustice 2. Put out a sweet announcement trailer that showed, like, some crazy armored battles going on. Yes. And then...
Take all my money. Take it.
Which is great, because that story for a video game actually spawned a really good comic series off of it as well.
It did.
It was one of the better uses of DC properties that's been out there. And the fact the comic is still going and telling that story again, I'm kind of curious where the video game's going to pick up from that. See if it carries off the end of the comic or off the end of the last game.
Right. Yeah, because they don't get into the story at all. They just show the sweet fucking armor.
Yeah.
That all the characters are getting.
Yes.
But, yeah, it would be an interesting thing. Because I don't know where the comic book is. I haven't been reading it, but...
I haven't since, like, year four or whatever that it was.
Yeah, they're in year five now. Right.
But it was good.
Yes, I'm excited.
And then last night, which was Saturday night, they showed a gameplay trailer where they showed Grodd and Atrocitus and Supergirl. So that'll be fun. Just some more random characters that are in there.
I can't wait. And I love it when they throw... the last one, my favorite character was Lobo. When they threw him in as, like, a DLC?
I think he was a DLC character, yeah.
Yeah, and oh my god.
It's I know you have a strange love of Lobo.
I do! I don't know what it is about him. I just think he's great. He's a great character. And they fucked him up.
They fixed him, though, kind of.
Well... according to sources that I've read, their ongoing Lobo that they're going to use in the comic books is the new Lobo.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know.
Everybody hates him. Why?
I thought that they were trying to, like, aren't they working on, like, a movie or something for it where they're going to make him not be a teenage, like, drama queen that looks kind of like Dream?
Yes. They plan on using the classic Lobo in the movie, which, fuck, thank God. Thank God, because I would not watch a Lobo movie based on the new guy.
No, he's kind of emo, whiny, and lame.
And my dream is that Danny Trejo will play Lobo in any Lobo movie that they do.
Apparently the puppy chow being made is deafening in the background. I just realized that. I was like, what is that sound going on right now?
She's playing the maracas.
Yes, they call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat.
Yes. So I don't know if this Lobo movie will actually ever come to fruition. I hope so, because it could be, especially with the success of Deadpool, it could be
a really
interesting movie like that.
I do just still worry that there are going to be too many R-rated movies that are going to be made off of the success of Deadpool and just kind of oversaturate the market or just start throwing out trash, because there's only certain ones you can really do that with.
That's true. Lobo would be one of them, but obviously he's not going to come out right away. Like, he's not a franchise that they're like, we got to get this out.
You need a gritty R-rated Batman.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
That would be cool. I don't know if I can...
Outside of Killing Joke.
Yes, like an actual. Like a Batfleck.
And not the Batman versus Superman
right.
R-rated cut, which they say is supposed to be good, but I don't see how that's redeeming.
Unless they completely reshot the movie.
Yeah. Took out Superman's broodingness. But, hey... speaking of Batman-related things, how about that J.K. Simmons picture you saw?
Oh, my God. That man is jacked.
Yeah, he is a large, scary old dude.
Holy crap.
With a sweet-ass mustache.
He had a fucking full-on beard going on.
Yeah.
But he's going to be playing Commissioner Gordon.
Apparently Commissioner Gordon is going to beat the shit out of everyone by himself.
What do you need Batman for when you have a Commissioner Gordon that looks like
he was Batman for a while.
Ben Steele, that's true. That's true. He was, wasn't he a Chappy Bat?
Yeah, he was,
Bunny Bat?
Bunny Bat.
Yeah.
Wabbit.
But oh my god, if you guys haven't seen these pictures online, and I don't know how you could have missed them if you go online at all, because they are everywhere, but J.K. Simmons has some crazy guns, and he's like, what, in his 70s?
He's old.
60s, 70s?
I would say 60s, 70s.
Holy cow.
He would... really give you whiplash with his... That's right.
But,
made a J.K. Simmons reference.
Very well done.
Thank you.
But, oh my god, check it out. Go Google, just Google J.K. Simmons. You'll
definitely.
It'll probably be one of the first pictures that you see of him working out in the gym and his scary, weird
looks
muscles.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's super scary.
Did strange things to me. I'm not used to for somebody so old.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, another thing that I know you wanted to talk about was your Kevin Smith Mallrats.
Yes.
I know it's not directly comic book related, but
no.
It is very important.
This is, it's geek news, for sure. So, Kevin Smith has been talking about doing Mallrats 2 for a couple years now. And there was this whole push, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, where he was getting all the old cast to sign on and stuff like that. Well, now it looks like instead of doing a movie, they're going to be doing a 10-episode series of Mallrats, which is very exciting. Because
I love
then
that movie.
It's, you know, it's great. It did horrible in the theaters when it came out in the 90s.
But it's a damn classic now.
It is totally a classic. And can just, you know, 10 hours. I don't know how long the episodes are going to be. I would imagine half an hour to 45 minutes. But I don't know where this is going to show, if it's going to be network or Netflix or...
I would assume it's probably a Netflix thing.
Hulu, because I know he has a show on Hulu already called Spoilers. It's like a reality TV show.
Isn't he doing some, like, history of comics, like, with Kirkman on AMC? Or, I'm trying to remember. Robert Kirkman is doing, like, a history of comics on AMC, like a documentary thing, and he wants to be part of
really?
That, if I remember right.
I will watch anything that Kevin Smith's in. I mean, he's got a lot of haters because he's doing some weird shit right now.
Yoga
in
Hosers?
His movies. Yeah, another trailer for Yoga Hosers came out last week.
I found a way we can relate this to comics.
Yeah.
He apparently wants to direct some of the episodes of Daredevil and the Defenders on Netflix. So
yeah, that would be interesting.
Sweet.
He did a good job on The Flash.
I did like that episode.
They invited him back to do a couple more next season, so he'll be on a couple more episodes. And he is also working on a Buckaroo Banzai movie right now.
Yes.
Which is going to be awesome.
I heard him talking about that on Hollywood Babylon one time with like Ralph Garman. He was just going on and on about Buckaroo Banzai. I was like, that's such an obscure movie. Like, of all things you love, Buckaroo Banzai?
He's got a lot going on right now. Good for him. I will stand behind whatever he does blindly, like a true fangirl.
Yes, you're going to go see Yoga Hosers?
I will see Yoga Hosers, definitely.
Nazi sausages?
Bratzies. Well, you know, he made this movie for, it's PG-13, so he made it for a younger audience, and he wanted to make it like an 80s cheesy midnight movie.
I don't know if I can get behind Nazi sausages.
I blindly, like I said, will follow him into the darkness, for sure. So, I'm excited for Mallrats. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait for that to come out. It'll be, I think, way better as a serial instead of a 2-hour movie.
I feel like it could be something that would have... There's so much going on in that movie that if they just expanded it out and made, like... And all the characters in there are great anyways, so...
Right, and you know they're going to have to add more because it's, what, like 20 years later?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history they can do there of what happened since.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Mallrats.
So I'm super excited about that.
I love
that.
All those old Kevin Smith movies.
God,
even Chasing Amy.
This weekend was the 3-year anniversary of the time I got to hug Kevin Smith.
You hugged Kevin Smith?
Yeah, I did.
Awkward.
I get so flustered when I talk about it. I went to a Jay and Silent Bob Get Old.
Okay.
Podcast taping or whatever, and at the end of every one of those, they do a game called Let Us Fuck. And you get up on stage and you have fake sex with Jason Mewes in a way that calls to whatever the position that you're doing is named by Kevin Smith. So ours was right when Man of Steel was coming out, so it was based on Superman.
Got dry humped by Jason Mewes.
I gave him fake head, cupped the balls a little bit. Anyway, at the end of it, I surprise hugged Kevin Smith before I got off the stage.
Was he scared?
He probably.
Okay. Good. Way to non-consensual rip hug Kevin Smith.
Yes, I did.
Great.
So happy anniversary to me and Kevin.
He doesn't even know it.
Nope.
awesome.
Oh, man.
So one other super random thing. So the Warcraft movie in the U.S., not doing so well.
No?
No. Shocking, I know, because the CGI looks so good. I mean, I will probably go see it just because I loved all the old Warcraft games when I was a kid, but apparently in China, it is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Really?
Like, they're not even going to be number one in the U.S. box office, but they earned $145 million in China in the first 4 days.
Shit.
So the Chinese people love their Warcraft.
What? That's, well, I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
For comparison's sake, just so you're aware, The Force Awakens earned $125 million during its entire theatrical run in China.
Holy fuck.
So Warcraft, kind of a big deal. China.
Did Star Wars come out in China after it came out in the United States?
I'm not 100% sure.
Because that might have something to do with it, too. Like, if it came out here first, then they probably just pirated the fuck out of it.
Probably.
Didn't need to go to the theater. This one came out the same weekend, which they don't usually do with international releases.
Yeah, so the other good thing for them is they spent $150 million on this movie, and China paid them back already. So even if it's a flop in the U.S., they'll probably make another one because the Chinese people are rabid for their Warcrafts.
Yep, yeah. And this is based on the original
Yes, the original, RTS. Like, strategy game, yeah. Not the World of Warcraft. Right. But obviously, there are parallels with the characters.
Right.
Because a lot of those same characters are referenced in the Warcrafts.
I know nothing about...
I used to play the World of Warcraft sometimes.
And all, except that a lot of people play it and are obsessed with it.
Not as many anymore. There was strange addiction for a time.
Yeah, there was. I did see at the premiere, I saw Jamie Lee Curtis dressed up as...
Dressed as an orc?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Go Jamie Lee.
You
Let
rock.
Let her nerd flag fly. Oh, man. There wasn't a whole lot else this week.
No, it was a pretty quiet week.
For news.
Crazier things have happened in the world of comic books than this week, but it was a pretty mild week, so that's nothing wrong with that.
No, you know, everyone's just holding on to their releases and shit until San Diego.
Exactly. It's right before, and San Diego Comic Con, I'm sure, will give us enough talking material for several weeks, as it usually does.
Oh, I know.
So, pretty stoked about that.
Yes. On other news, our interview with Bob Sally, if you guys haven't checked it out yet, you should totally check it out.
Because apparently it's a big deal.
It's blowing up on the internet.
It's one of our most popular posts in a long time, so thank you, Bob.
Yes.
You are awesome, and you're one of the easiest people ever to interview. Like a Dirk Manning-esque interview. Just say three words and let them talk.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't checked it out yet, make sure you go and listen. Not because we like to push our own stuff, but because we want you to know about Bob Sally.
Yeah, we love actually helping other people out, which is strange, because we're kind of douchebags, but...
It's true.
as much as we can help other people, that's kind of what we enjoy doing, especially people that you may not know about. So get out there, check out that Bob Sally interview if you haven't listened yet, because I know sometimes our interviews don't get as many listens as our normal podcast, but this one apparently is. So.
Yes. And if you're a creator out there, writer, artist, and you wanna sell your wares and your story on our,
you like.
Gonna use us as your pimp to whore yourselves out, then we are more than happy to do that for you. We love to propagate.
Sounds like good old Dan Doherty is gonna be back in the beginning of July, so we'll be talking to him. Hopefully, we don't accidentally delete the interview this time.
Yes, if we do, it's just the world telling us that Dan can't be on our show.
I'm going to try to get him to tell the story about the time he got hit by a bus, because it was amazing.
I did hear that story, yes, and that's a great story. He's a cool dude.
He's a fun guy. He's my arch nemesis in karaoke, but yes.
That karaoke and comic books, that's just... a weird thing.
It is a weird combo, but Adam and I challenged him and Dirk at the bar on Saturday night to a karaoke battle at Grand Rapids Comic Con, so
it's gonna happen.
See where this leads.
Yes, Grand Rapids Comic Con. If you guys weren't thinking of coming, now you have a reason to.
To watch the Adam and Derek versus Dirk and Dan battle. I'm sure there will be costumes, and God knows what's going to be sung, but it's going to be ridiculous.
Yes. Epic.
We'll make it
sure.
So we embarrass everyone, including the audience. So no worries whatsoever.
Nice.
You will have a great time.
All right. We got booze in a book this
Booze
week?
In a book, yeah. We made a fun little combo. I know you've gone to the bar and we've discussed this.
Yes.
The giant-ass fishbowl drinks.
Yes.
and how ridiculous they look.
I feel like every bar that isn't, like, specialized towards something, like, so we have Stella's, they're a whiskey bar. So they don't have these.
If they did, I'm sure it would just be a punch bowl full of a straight whiskey.
Yes, but the fishbowl drinks, which could be, they could be anything in them.
It's basically glorified jungle juice.
Yes, yes. It's just, we have all this booze. We're going to mix it together.
There's no real recipe. There's usually some sort of blue curacao, or yeah. Caraco, blue if you curacao. Idiots will.
Yes.
Blue curacao to make it kind of look like it's an aquarium, because it's a giant fucking fishbowl. We thought we'd just make one of these, just throw whatever clearish liquors you want in there with some blue curacao, throw some Swedish fish in, yes, for fun, because we were going to pair that with Aquaman Rebirth number 1, which came out, because if you drink this, people are going to make fun of you. And Aquaman always gets made fun of. Because he's a ridiculous superhero. Even though he's super powerful, people on land make fun of him for being talking to fish, even though he doesn't actually talk to fish, no, which is referenced in this. He just has a link with them, but everyone thinks, oh, he's the guy that talks to fish and swims around.
He can't do anything outside of the water.
And everyone in Atlantis is like, oh, he's just a stupid half-human. Why is he leader? He sucks. So
poor Aquaman.
Aquaman sucks like that drink does, so poor Aquaman.
Yes. But they both, you know what, though? They both get judged unfairly because they get the job done.
They do.
You drink one of those fish bowls, especially by yourself.
If you solo a fish bowl, I'm impressed for you. That is ridiculous.
You might be part Aquaman. Feel like a strong liver.
Or you're going to be puking water back into the toilet.
And Aquaman always judged unfairly, but he always gets the job done too.
He does.
Yeah.
He's ridiculously powerful. He can fight Superman. Yeah. But people just don't give him any credit because he's a fish man.
Yes, he's got mad sharks though.
Super awkward, by the way, in that comic book Aquaman number 1, he takes Mira to a seafood restaurant on, like, the pier.
What?
Like, aren't you eating your people?
What?
It keeps him grounded, apparently. Eating, he remembers because his dad took him there.
Eating fish keeps him grounded, apparently. Even though he's, like, the king of fish.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
It's a little cannibalistic. I was,
it's
like,
a little fucked up.
They're eating chowder, so maybe he's not, like, king of clams, but
that's fucked up.
I think so. That's what I saw. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, Aquaman, you terrible son of a bitch. You're eating your subjugates.
Wow. I guess, but you know, I mean, every leader has to have a power play, right? If you guys don't follow me, I'm going to eat you.
Some Atlanteans in there is just like eating a like sea trout. Just, ah.
This
what'd
be
you say? What's that? Sea trout?
Oh, that's messed up. It reminds me of I don't know why. It reminds me of a Teen Titans Go episode I watched, which is a ridiculous show, but I love it.
It is a ridiculous show.
They invite Aqualad to a seaside barbecue, and they ask him to bring an army of shrimp with him, and he does because he thinks they're going to battle, and then they cook all his shrimp and eat them.
Oh, no, poor Aqualad. He's even shittier than Aquaman. And dumber, apparently.
It was crazy and a little dark. I was like, this show is for kids. Yeah, it was a little fucked up.
He just led his friends to the slaughter.
He did. He did. All of them. They ate all of the shrimp.
We got a new term, like shrimp to the slaughter.
There we go.
Shrimp on to Bobby.
Well, we have a little bit of time to kill, and we haven't talked about this yet, and I kind of want to get into it a little bit, is this whole Chewbacca mom thing.
Still,
can we talk about this?
I don't want to, because she made like $400,000 already. I know we touched on it a little bit about her going to Comic-Con, but
yeah, $420,000 worth of perks that she's gained from
giggling in a mask.
And I'm kind of jealous, I'm not gonna lie.
Maybe you should have bought a Chewbacca mask and giggled at people.
Have you seen that Chewbacca mask?
Yeah.
Did you watch that video?
Yeah,
it's fucking sweet.
I kind of want one, but I don't want to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
now
it's sold out. So yeah. I don't know if you could even find it anywhere now, but
I'm sure it's horribly overpriced on the Chewbacca mask black market.
A lot of people are hating on her a little bit, and I can see why, because she didn't really do anything and she's reaping all these benefits, but I really think it's just because we're all jealous because she literally did nothing.
Success breeds jealousy. Even though she wasn't successful at all, she laughed in a Chewbacca mask, but hey, people watched it, so, and it was kind
of
funny.
A lot of people, I refused to watch it for the longest time, and I finally broke down and watched it last weekend, and it's contagious. She laughs so much and so hard that I started laughing. And
it's
then...
funny when she laughs and the Chewbacca mask goes off because she's laughing. So there's like a laughing Chewbacca sound.
Yep. Yeah. So the strangest thing that she's gotten, though, is all her kids got full scholarships to like a Christian college in Florida.
That's strange.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I don't know. That's super weird. But hey, that's cool. That's so good that, for her family.
That's a majority of the...
I hate you, but...
Of the $420,000 is this...
She's been on a bunch of like talk shows and stuff too, just for giggling in a Chewbacca mask.
Yes. The best one was when she did with James Corden?
Yeah.
James Corden. And I think J.J. Abrams was in it too. That was... They all put the masks on. It was hilarious. But she's going to be in a... At Fan Expo.
Which is... I know we kind of touched on this. I still think that that table could have been used for, you know, someone people want to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Chewbacca Mom has fans, but I don't think she's going to be able to top Chewbacca Mom giggling.
No, no. And she's going to be there with...
Peter Mayhew, right?
Peter Mayhew, yep. She's a guest of his, so...
At least she's not stealing a table from some legitimate person people may want to go see more.
Exactly. And
it always bothers me when people in, like, Artist Alley and stuff that don't really have a need to be there take tables from people that people may want to see.
Right.
So
from artists.
Don't sell things in Artist Alley.
They should.
Unless you're an artist selling art, in which case, go ahead.
And I think that that's just a flaw of a con and not... the people selling stuff's fault. A lot of that stuff is handmade. Some of it's not.
Yeah.
Some of it is rip-off prints from other artists.
Which is a whole nother topic.
We're not going to get into that right today. Now. Yeah, there's a bunch of, you
that
know.
That is a hot topic
it
right
is.
Now.
It is. And it should be. It's a sensitive subject. You know, profiting off of somebody else's intellectual property.
Yes.
But... we're not going to talk about that today because we weren't prepared to. So, but yeah, no, I think cons, I think at Grand Rapids Comic Con they did this even where they had the artists separate from the people selling things.
Yes.
Even
there
though,
was like a sales area and an artist alley area,
yes.
which were on complete opposite sides of each other.
As they should be, because maybe some cons think that the people selling stuff will drive people to walk around and look at all the other artists. So if you, I guess, pepper them in between the people selling jewelry and chainmail.
I kind of like having a separate artist alley, though. I feel like you have a more immersed experience seeing different artists, and different artists can go, like, being next to each other, may meet each other, work on things together, builds, like, a community type thing. Like Bob was talking about last week.
And that it's very, as we learned, it's very important to the success of it, especially an independent creator is building that community. That's, I mean, how many people that we know in this community end up working together at some point?
A lot.
Just because they met at a con. Yeah, did some karaoke together.
It's pretty awesome.
It happens, so.
Camaraderie.
Anyway, I just needed to get the Chewbacca Mom thing off my chest.
It's been bothering you. I can see it's been weighing heavily.
I'm so jealous. It's just, you know, I guess just luck. Any random fan could have made a video.
Bought a random Chewbacca mask and giggled.
Yeah, and it was just the luck that she is a person who posts probably
and laughs
every
ridiculously.
Moment of her life on the internet, and we don't all do that. So.
It's pretty much what the whole of it. It's like 8 minutes of.
Yep.
It's bad.
Oh, all right.
Well, Lindsay, you have any final thoughts for the day?
You know, today's Children's Day. Did you know that?
I did actually see that on the book face today.
I don't really have anything to say about children, except, you know, buy them a comic book.
Yeah. Even something educational.
Yeah. Get them involved. They're our future. Raise them right. Don't fuck them up.
There's plenty of kids' comic books out there. Read them like a Lumberjanes or something. It'll give them positive messages.
There's so many... So
this week, Lumberjanes Gotham Academy crossover came out. That's Boom and DC together. So
nice.
That's a big deal.
Heck yeah.
That's two properties that don't normally work together. Go get them that.
Yes.
Great. Get them introduced to two different properties together in one comic book that they can probably grow their fan base off of there.
Yep.
So
change a life. Give a comic book to a kid.
Yeah. So that's our show for this week. Make sure everyone, you get out there, get some new comic books, and stay thirsty for knowledge.